It's good to see everyone here tonight as we look into God's Word just one more time on today, and what a great privilege it is to open up the book divine and to peer into the very heart of God, that we may learn just one more thing about Him that will help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ever think about the image that you're made in, that we're made in? And what the Bible has to say concerning the image that we're made in. I think I'm bringing forth this lesson mainly or mostly for our young people. Maybe we already have a great idea or a good idea of what it means to be made in the image of God and what it is, the image of man. And so maybe just kind of instruct our young ones, kind of help them to have an identity. Because sometimes when we don't know where we come from, it's difficult to know where we're going. We got to keep in mind that we're on our way back home to glory, and we're going back to the one that created us. The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter 1, as we take this small perusal through the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible teaches us in verse number 26, if we can all open up our Bibles and let's think about what's being said and to gather some encouragement. Here we find the Godhead coming together, and notice what is being said in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." What a great passage here that we find. And what does it mean to be made in the very image of God? First of all, we have to ask ourselves, what is God? Now, you notice that he says, who is God? He said, what is God? The Bible teaches us in John 4, in verse 24, that God is spirit. All right? But what does that mean? Is God just a breath of fresh air? Is he just wind? What is God? Well, let's turn to Psalm 8, and let's look at the first 6-7 verses real quick. And I want us to notice very swiftly how important man is, how important we are. We are very important to God. And as I was pondering some of these things, I was looking at some of these passages, and I was saying, okay, Mike, what passages are you going to use in order to get your point across? Not quickly, but succinctly. I want us to be able to see what God is saying in his word. Notice verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Did you see that? I just want to make this quick point, Ray. You know, just studying about light here the last couple of weeks. And here we have this picture that the psalmist gives us, young people, and how God is sitting on top of the heavens. You know what that means? He's right above us. Brother Don said a prayer one time, and he said, to the Father who sits right above us. I mean, he's right there. He's looking at us. Isn't that beautiful that God sees us? And when you're walking in the light as he is in the light, that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. Notice what the psalmist goes on to say. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemies and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now, notice what the psalmist says here, friends. He said, when I look at everything and I see everything, you know, I'm wild. But notice what he says. What is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you pay attention to him? Now, already the psalmist is teaching us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that God is one that is mindful. He's one that can see and think and ponder and look upon. What is man that you're mindful of, that you consider him, that he's just so important to you? Who is this God? What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him, that you made him a little lower than the angels? And notice what he did in verse number 5. You crowned him with glory and honor. Friends, we are important. We're important. But notice Job 7. Go back one book, Job 7, and look at verse 17. Here we have Job, and Job is dealing with his sufferings. And notice what Job had to say about this God of heaven, the one that's viewing his sufferings on a daily basis. Notice what he says. What is man that you should exalt him, that you should set your what on him? Your heart. What is God? God made us in his image. He made us just like him. Heart, intelligence, will, volition. We have the ability to think and to be wise. God is not only a spirit, but God is one of wisdom. Who is this God? What is this God? What does it mean when God said he made us in his image? Now notice Genesis 2:7. We're going to go there, and then we're going to run to another passage very swiftly. In Genesis 2 and verse number 7, notice what God did after he formed man from the dust of the ground. We viewed this before, but I want us to view it from this vantage point. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? God formed man on the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Friends, this passage here gives us insight to Adam's ability to be able to name all of the animals. Gave him breath, gave him life. Put in your notes Psalm 33 and verse 6. All right, Psalm 33 and verse 6. It's a powerful, powerful verse. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and read that so you can get an idea of what the psalmist here is saying. And this is divine commentary on Psalm 2 and verse number 7. Now notice Psalm 33 and verse number 6. You see the same phraseology, the same terminology, and, well, no wonder. The Holy Spirit is guiding these men, all right? In Psalm 33 and verse number 6, notice what he says. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God is a God of intelligence. He's a God of creation. He's a God of order. When we think about this God, who is he? Who is this God? Now, look at Exodus 34. Now, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Already looked at God as intelligence. He's will. He's spirit. He's mind. He's heart. So when people began saying, well, you know, we came from gorillas and apes, and we, through evolution, we eventually formed into what we are today. No, I thought we were made in the image of God. We are somebody. Brother Brian, we are somebody. We have an identity. So when we struggle with an identity crisis, why don't we just go back to the Bible? Let's go back to the Word. Notice Exodus 34. We've already looked at this, but I want us to look at it from this vantage point. We talk about what is God. Now, who is God? Now, being made in the image of God is, we're not just eternal beings, but we are eternal beings with an identity, which means that we have the capacity to be just like this. So what happens when people are opposite of what we're about to read? Meaning that they are not operating within the realm in which God created them to be. All right, notice in Exodus 34, verse 5. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed the Lord God. Notice the attributes of who God is. This is his character. This is his essence. This is who he is. This is his identity. And friends, God made us in his image. This is our identity as well. Okay? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, and it goes so on and so forth. Friends, we have these capabilities, and we have the capacity to be just like this. What happens when people don't operate within these realms? They're not operating within the realm in which God created them to be. Friends, this is so powerful in and of itself that it gives us identity. We don't have to struggle with who we are, what we are. We know who we are. We're made in the very image of God. All right? Point two. The second image. Go to Genesis 5. We know, as we saw in Genesis 2 and verse number 7, that man was formed from the dust of the ground. Yet, when God created man, he put him in the garden to eat of the tree, and he was going to eat of that tree of life, and he was going to live throughout eternity. He was just going to live and live and live. But God gave man choice. Hold on. Just like God. You know, God chooses to love us. God makes choice. You know one thing God can't do, though? Sin. Can't sin. 1 John 1, verse 5. You know, if we practice long enough, y'all come close. You know, if we practice long enough, we can get to a point of maturity that we don't have to sin. Now, many Christians believe that we have to sin. Sin is a choice. Just like righteousness is a choice. All right? Yes, especially young people, because we're hearing, well, I have to sin. I mean, I'm going to sin. Well, you don't have to. You choose to. We don't have to make that choice, which means that we can think things through just like God wants us to think things through. We are eternal beings with the ability to think and to rationalize through words. Notice Genesis 5. Y'all may need to ponder on that. Y'all look a little confused on that point. But here it is right here. Genesis 5. Notice, after we find Cain slaying Abel, now we have Adam and Eve coming together, and they bring forth Seth. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image. Hold on, there's the second image right there. So already we discussed one image, just on the surface, but here's the second image, made in the image of our father, Adam. All of us come from Adam. You know, it doesn't matter where you come from, what color skin you may have. It doesn't matter who you are. We all come from Adam. You know why? Adam literally just means dirt. All of us come from the dirt. Isn't it amazing? You know, after you've been working in the yard a little bit, and you may not have any, had a lot of dirt on you, but you get to rubbing your face and you got dirt coming off. That's because you're made of dirt. That's what we are. We're dirt. You know what I am? I'm a hunk of dirt with a necktie on. That's what I am. Come on now, y'all relax a little bit. That's what we are. We're dirt. We just think about this. But here, what is so significant about being made in the likeness of, or in the image of Adam? The whole context of chapter 5, men live and die. Why? Look at Romans 5, verse 12 real quick. What does it mean to be made in the image of Adam? Romans 5 and verse number 12. Glad to hear the pages turning. I thought this would be good education for us. It gives us identity. It shows us where we come from. You know, yes, maybe I came from my earthly father, my biological father, but when I traced myself all the way back, I come from Adam. I come from dirt. I come from man. He formed man from the dust of the ground. Bam, there he is. Adam. He's Adam. You know, it's amazing. He made man from the dirt. And so he did women real good. He made y'all from the rib. We're dirt, y'all rib. y'all come on now. I wonder why we all dirty all the time, huh? We just like to play in the dirt, and the women, they want to be in the house because we made from the dirt. We like to play in the dirt. Romans 5, verse 12. Notice what the Bible says. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sinned. What does it mean to be made in the image of Adam? We're born, we die. Hold on. when we think about this, why is that encouraging? Well, it might not be. But then again, it may be. Let's go back to, let's look at some other passages. What does it mean to be made in the image of Adam? Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. We're going to die. You know, the time in which a child is born, immediately they're in the process of doing what? Dying. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it means, all right? In Acts chapter 17 and verse 27, there is an appointed time, all right? Everybody has their pre-appointed time. We don't know what it is, but we do know this. Psalm 90. Brother Brian, he referred to Psalm 90 in his prayer this morning and caused me to ponder some things. Every time I hear that Psalm 90 referred to or read, it causes me to think about my mortality. Let's look at it. Psalm 90, starting at verse number 9, notice what the psalmist here says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For all our days have passed away in your anger. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Here it is. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. What's the purpose of life? The purpose of life is for God to teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we may fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God gave us wisdom in the garden. He gave them the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them the tree of life. If they would have never eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would still be feasting on the tree of life. One day, we'll be able to feast on that tree of life. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God and also the image of man? We see some things that are very powerful in this text that ought to help us to teach us to number our days. But I want us to notice 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at this for a couple of minutes before we go into the third image. Because you're probably thinking, three images? The Bible teaches that we're in three images? We have three images? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say, because I'm not even talking about what God really destroyed the people of Israel for, because they made graven images. They always would try to make some type of image of who God was. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a beautiful text right here. I'm probably not going to give it justice. We're just going to read it, make some comments, and notice you're going to see a sequence of what comes first, what comes second. All right? Well, what type of image are we in? What do we have to look forward to? Notice, verse 35. But someone would say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Key point. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another flesh of fish, another flesh of birds. And, you know, we know that for a fact. You know, there's nothing like eating some good catfish, but ain't nothing like eating some yard bird. Y'all know what that is? That's chicken. Nothing like some good yard bird, and your bird sitting there running in the yard, grab that thing. We need to eat him. There's a difference. But then you think of a cow. Then you think of some pork. There's different types of flesh. The Bible teaches that. It's nothing new. Here it is, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. That's a powerful point. Every star is different. How does God know that? How did Paul know that? How can we know that? God tells us every single star you see in the sky, all of them are different. Just like every snowflake that hits the ground is different. Wow. Notice. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Notice the language being used. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And here it is. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Hold on. The first Adam, young people, laid on the ground lifeless. God breathed into him the breath of life. Then he woke up. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, he was alive, come into the form of a man. He was already alive. He's always been alive. He will always be alive. You know what? We have identity. When we identify with Christ, we will always be alive. I don't know about y'all, but that just makes me happy. That I don't have to die. Oh, yes, this physical body might die. But spiritually, I don't have to die. We can live forever. And we can live forever with God. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, or King James Version, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Here it is. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, this is divine commentary on Genesis 5, 1 through 3, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Here is divine commentary on John 3, 3 through 5. What did Nicodemus ask Jesus? How can a man be born again unless he enters into his mother's womb the second time? John, Nicodemus, you got it wrong. He's not talking about entering into your mother's womb again. He's talking about entering into the waters of baptism. Ain't that beautiful? Come on, y'all. Isn't that beautiful? This is beautiful material. You know what this teaches us? That we can be made in the very image, here it is, of Christ. Turn to Romans 8. Here it is. Here's the third image, Brother Garrett. Here's the third image right here. When man sinned, God had to put his plan into action. He put his plan into action because he wanted men to be just like his son now. Here, you was made in my image. You messed that up. You're going to always be made in the image of Adam. You're going to be born. You're going to die. But before you die, I need you to be conformed to the image of my son. Okay? What does that mean? What does that look like? Romans 8, look at verse 28. We love to use this verse as relates to, you know what, you know, things happen in my life and whether it's good or bad and God uses it all and it's all going to work out. Yeah, that sounds good, but that ain't what he's talking about. Okay? This is what he's talking about. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about being saved. All right? Here we understand that these people were going through some very hard times and they needed to know that they were saved. Here it is, verse 28. He says, get to the right verse. Here it is. And we know all things work together. Here's the purpose right here. For good. Remember Acts 10 verse 37. Jesus anointed by the Holy Spirit went about doing good. Moral. He was a moral being. He was an upright citizen. He was one that walked right with God. He's made in the very image of God. He is the very image of God, the brightness of his glory, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Now notice, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Here it is, young people. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. Y'all young people, y'all look at me. Let me tell you what this means. You ever on a team and you know you either playing soccer or volleyball or basketball and you got to pick teams and they say, well, everybody who is 3 feet 4 inches and up, you're on this team, and everybody 3 feet 4 inches and below, you're on that team. Well, what y'all just did was y'all predestined a standard. You know, God predestined a standard for all men to be conformed to the image of his son, the obedience to the gospel. Wow. You know what the problem is? People don't want to be conformed to the image of Christ. They don't want to be conformed to the image of his son. And this is why those in whom he predestined, he foreknew and predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Why? In order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus, after he had died and he was buried, he was raised, he ascended back to the Father. Same thing with us. Romans chapter 6, we die to sin, going down in the water. We come up a new creature. We again walk around showing people that Christ lives in us. We're in the image of Christ. There's your third image right there. So everybody's made in the image of God. Everybody's made in the image of Adam. But not all are made in the image of Christ. Ain't that beautiful? Y'all just smile. Say, yes, that's beautiful. You know why? Because that teaches us that we can be made in the image of Christ. And we do have identity. So how do we know what our identity is? How do we love our enemies? Matthew chapter 5. How do we obey our parents in the Lord? For we know this is right. Ephesians 6. How do we treat our elderly parents? Matthew chapter 15. How do we honor God with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Matthew 22. What does it mean to be in the image of Christ? To be in the image of Christ means to do God's will and to follow Jesus Christ. To suffer like he did, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and following. That's being made in the image of Christ. And when we live like that, then we can proclaim what Paul proclaimed. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Let us have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Great God and Father, you're so good to us. You give us your word. You teach us so many things. You allow us to know who you are more and more every day when we read your word. For that, Father, we're thankful. We're grateful. We're indebted to you and your son and for what they have done. And Father, help us always strive for righteousness in our lives. Be with our young people, Father. Sometimes they struggle with identity of who they are and whose they are, and where they're going. Father, they have to know that they're made in your image, made in y'all's image, the Godhead. They have to know that they're made in the image of man, Adam. And Father, we want to teach them your word that they may learn to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus Christ. But we know you want them to have the mind of Christ and to be able to suffer for your name and to go out and be a light and a salt in the city that is set upon a hill. Father, help us to give them a fighting chance by teaching them your ways and helping them to be all that they can be. But Father, be with us who are older, who struggle with identity, who struggle with identity crisis, because we don't know who we are. But Father, you have given us an identity, and that's Christian. Help us to always live according to that name. And to esteem that name highly, and to let all men know who live amongst us and who we come in contact with that we're Christians and we follow the name of Christ and we follow the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we know since he made that great marathon from glory to glory, we come from you and we want to go back home to you. And we know that we've fallen short and we've sinned and we had to obey the gospel. So Father, thank you for giving us a way back home to you, back to you, and help us to be humble and to always strive to be a people who love you and to love others, and help us to teach and teach and teach. Please forgive us when we fall short. Help us to love our enemies. Help us to watch our tongues. Help us to be patient. Just help us to be like your son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider some of the words that were said, because it is a great privilege to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's a great privilege. Oh yeah, we're all on equal playing ground when it comes to being made in the image of God and the image of man. But the playing ground changes when you become a child of God. You want to leave the arena of the creature and be a child of God. See, we have a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But we want to leave the arena of the creature and become a child of God. We do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confessing Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God himself will add you to his Son's church, the Church of Christ. They're faithful even to the point of death. And keep in mind that you're made in the image of Christ. So it doesn't matter what comes your way, you'll be all right. Why? Because you're more than conquerors. Maybe a child of God lost sight of your image. You have taken on your own image. No, don't do that. Keep the image of Christ in front of you as we stand and as we sing of the Savior's invitation.